I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me remotely today is a female award-winning entrepreneur and international producer and founder of Garnet Girl LLC. Welcome, Lisa G. Black.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Great to be here.
So glad to be chatting with you today, Lisa. Before we got started with the recording, we were chatting a little bit, and your background, your experience in film and production is fascinating. And I know you have a lot to share with what you're doing in Delaware, both on the Delaware scene, but also with international work. And you mentioned the Rehoboth Beach Film Festival. So let's go back to your beginning career as a film producer.
Yeah, great. So after 20 years in corporate America, I was on the side helping one of my dearest friends from university, who is still currently an Oscar-nominated screenwriter. And, you know, being friends with him, was there for him in his career when he was making his first film called First Snow in New Mexico. I would fly out on my vacation and, you know, just kind of be there for him. And I really got a sense and a taste of physical film production off of what he was doing. But somewhere around 2008, I was meeting more and more creatives. And I had come from a creative background myself growing up. So I always had this strong affinity to creatives in general, but I have this humongous business background. And it just, the light just dawned on me to say, you know what, let me just jump all in. And being a Delawarean, I created my company here in Delaware called Garnet Girl in 2008. And I kind of just leaped off a bridge and jumped all in. And I, you know, it is, has it been easy? No. But has it been rewarding? Yes. For 12 years, I'm very proud of the accomplishments that I've been able to do under my company and for many creatives that I've been working with over 12 years. So roughly about 9 feature films that were released worldwide and several things in development and things like that. So, yeah.
Now, as an entrepreneur, you've had a couple of your films shown at the Rehoboth Beach Film Festival. Is that correct?
Yes, I was absolutely honored and thrilled that Sue Early was lovely and had one of the films called Miles, which stars Molly Shannon and Missy Pyles and Paul Reiser. And we had that a couple of years ago. And it was wonderful because it sold out. And it was nice to see Delawareans coming out and supporting something that now has gone on, and you can watch it on Amazon or Netflix. And then a few years later, just this past 2019, she honored me again with a film that almost took me 10 years to make called The Birdcatcher. It's a World War II Holocaust survivor feature film, and starring August Steele and Sarah Sophie Bassina. And it was in the Jewish Rehoboth Film Festival. So I was honored to actually be a part of both of those festivals. And again, huge support from Delawareans and the surrounding folks that attended the festival. So I was quite honored, and it was a thrill to bring it home here. Yeah.
Now, for our listeners, in watching any film, if you sit through the final scrolling credits, you see all sorts of lists of titles of this function and that function. What is the function of the producer in the making of a film? Because that's the role you play, correct?
That's the role I play. And that is such a complex question. I'm a proud member of the Producers Guild of America. And within the PGA, there are several types of producers that they have listed. You'll might see something called an executive producer. An executive producer is someone that gets that credit if they were to bring financing to the feature film, or they made a impactful contribution to the film, whether it's maybe they brought a star to it, or maybe they brought a distributor, you know, another strategic partner, you normally would get an executive producing credit. A full producer, which you would see in the beginning of the titles, and I was proud to have that title several times. A full producer is somebody that comes on, finds the material, develops the material in its most raw stage. And then from there, like a good CEO, finds partners that have strengths and can bring things to the mix, and you're building a quilt, and the hope is to have this quilt look beautiful at the end of that. So that's the producer that, you know, is a part of everything from working with the screenwriter, working with the director, attaching talent, finding the financing, finding the distribution partners. And some producers will stay on through physical production, what we call when you're there on the set. And other producers might go away from there. And then they have other producers called post-production producers who see the film through its editing process. And then there's producers like myself who actually, and I'm proud of the fact that I was able to really sit back and fall upon some of my prior corporate experience. And I really learned the process from development through exhibition. Mm-hmm. So I'm the kind of producer where they call me the fairy godmother. I'll stay in to the bitter end, even if I don't have to, because it's like birthing a baby, right? It's when you feel so, you know, blessed and honored, but you this is your baby, and you want to make sure that it gets seen by the right and touch the right people.
Right. So. Now, I'm curious, as you speak, it occurs to me, there is so much technology out there at our hands today that allows, for lack of a better term, the common person, me, to make a film if I know what I'm doing with the technology. But making a film as raw cut as it might be from what I would do with my iPhone to, you know, the professional productions that, you know, with all the camera work and everything. That's one thing, to make the film, but then to market the film, the business of the film industry. Talk about that a little bit and some of the challenges you face in the business side of filmmaking.
Yeah. So, you know, again, that to me is the most important. Many, many creatives and filmmakers, God bless them. They're so focused on, if I just had the money, if I just had the right actor, I could make my film. Instead of thinking, okay, who am I making this film for, right? There's one thing to your point is to say, I want a film and it's going to sit on a shelf and no one's going to see it. No, you want somebody to see your work. But if they just focus on who it is you're making it for, you know, is it a particular genre? Are you trying to say something with it? What subgroups are you trying to reach? Then it becomes easier for a producer and even for that filmmaker to then find the partners earlier on in the process that makes it coming to the world easier. So, you know, the marketing of film should be, and I speak a lot about this, at the beginning. Yes, everything starts with the script, right, Paul? But to not know who it is that you're doing it for is not the right way to go. You want to be able to, you know, share your vision and have a plan from the beginning. So marketing is very important, because it also involves choosing the partners that you want to come on board. So there are certain sales agents that might not understand this particular genre or the story you're trying to sell. They may not have the expertise of that particular subgroup that you're going for, and some do, and that will make your decisions a lot easier as well. So, yeah.
Is there a particular genre you have an affinity for?
Yes, I do. But if you look at my filmography, I'm just so passionate about filmmakers that I have been blessed to known a lot of emerging filmmakers who have gone on to do some amazing things, like win, you know, get Oscar nominated. So I'll believe in the filmmaker and the person. Sometimes maybe that what their particular genre is not what I inherently love, but I love them and I love the message that they're saying. So personally, I love costume period dramas. I do. I was an English literature major at Boston University and a British literature sub major. And so I think, you know, anything that has to do with Jane Austen or the Bronte sisters, you know, Outlander and Sense and Sensibility, you know, those are the kinds of films that I watch. I would say The Birdcatcher, my last film, is definitely a period costume drama, World War II, 1940s, set in Norway. I filmed it in Norway. So I was kind of geeking out on the fact that the production, you know, designer was spot on with what she did, and our costume designer, Eros, and hair and makeup, amazing. So that was my first period piece that I got to do, The Birdcatcher. But I tend to love those as me, but to a long-winded way of answering your question, I think if for me, it's about the script, it's about the filmmaker, what they want to say. If you actually look at the bulk of my filmography thus far, it really has been LGBTQ focused. And that is because I had the great honor of working with a young filmmaker, producer, Ash Christian, who we just lost a month ago at age 35. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough one during this pandemic to lose him.
Yeah. Well, I want to continue talking about your career and film here in Delaware, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Joining me today is Lisa G. Black, the founder of Garnet Girl LLC, award-winning entrepreneur and international producer. Lisa, as an international producer, what kinds of connections do you, what does that mean? How do you, based here in Delaware, reach out to the international film community to do what you do?
Being in Delaware is a huge advantage. And I have to say many, many, many times I am asked questions all over the world. It's like, first of all, where's Delaware? And they're like, is that state between New York and DC? And I think with our current situation, I think Delaware is definitely becoming more on the map. But it is easier because I've been blessed with going to what we call a lot of the film markets, Cannes, Berlinale, European film market. I've been going to those markets since 2007, even before I formed Garnet Girl. And I was really, you know, networked and got to meet a lot of film commissioners and economic development officers from their government-run programs. And really kind of fell in love with the Nordic and Scandinavian countries, and over the years have been very instrumental in working with them, shaping their tax credits, and then also speaking about how Delaware could be a fit for European or Nordic filmmakers to come here to Delaware to film and possibly even start a company and take advantage of some of the resources not only Delaware has, but our surrounding states as well. So it's easy because you do everything on the phone. And the only disappointing thing is, you know, I'm used to being on the road. So having this very uncertain time with the pandemic has certainly locked down from seeing our colleagues and getting business done that way. So it's a lot of Zoom meetings. It's a lot of time on the phone. So I start my day at 4 a.m. and I finish around 7 or 8 Eastern Standard Time. And it's a long day. It's a long day. But I do miss going to markets and interacting with my colleagues. And I know we talk a lot about the fact that we can't wait for some kind of green light or vaccine to you know, so we're able to interact. Because, you know, phone is one thing, Paul, but as we all know, in any business, in any industry, you can't take away from the one-on-one. I mean, this is nice, and it's nice speaking with you on Zoom, but when you're physically, you know, in front of somebody, I think that is super helpful in building strong relationships that you may not use them for what particular project, but when you build that kind of relationship and you build a network up, as I have, there are times when you can call people up, maybe not even for your own projects, but for somebody else's project. That's where I get the real joy, is connecting the dots, yeah. Even if there's no skin in the game for me. You know, it's to know that this, the beauty of the arts, that's what makes humanity. And there is no content really going on right now. And we need content, and people need to feel connected through the arts. And it's super important.
We were talking off air about Delaware as a venue, a location for a thriving film industry. Talk about the assets that Delaware has, and what conditions would be needed for Delaware to become that mecca of film production. Because I mean, I know there have been efforts in the past to try and, you know, build a thriving film industry in Delaware.
Yep. So I've been in Delaware since 2003 and fell in love with this state. I actually grew up in New Jersey, lived in Boston, San Francisco, and as you know, now said travel internationally all the time. So Delaware's special. I think what makes it special is the fact that we are geographically located to major airports, you know, major train thoroughfare through the 95 corridor and Amtrak, you know, nestled between Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, in close proximity to New York. It just makes for the right recipe to attract international productions. I mean, we have beaches, we have the beauty of historic Newcastle, we have Dover, we have the rolling hills, which is like not too far from my home here, of Winterthur and Greenville that looks like Yorkshire, the UK. We could have tons of, the Crown should have came here. But we also have people, and people who, you know, for me, watching, having been a Delawarean now close to 20 years, I've watched the economic sectors shift. You know, we had Chrysler and the Boxwood plant and manufacturing, and now we're shifting because, you know, we no longer have those. But those skill sets of those electricians, the machinists, they can all be retrained within IATSE, which is the union, as skilled labor within the entertainment and film industry. I mean, New York, state of New York, it wasn't all that long ago that they did not have the infrastructure that they currently now have through the blessings of Governor Cuomo and the mayor of New York City and the outlying boroughs. And think about what they've been able to do. They could, you know, it's an $845 million industry bringing tons of jobs, thousands of jobs into the state. And I just feel like we have so much land here. I constantly am trying to work with some of the executives at Pinewood Studios. They have a studio in Atlanta. They have a studio in Toronto. They do not have a studio in the Northeast. I think they should bring one here. We have the space to do it. We have the people to do it. And we have the creative and the business sense to do it. So I was the former co-chair of the Delaware Film Board. We had some traction under Governor Markell, had signed this initiative where we had a group of lovely folks from all over the state getting together and trying to figure out how we could best go forward with a dedicated film office, but it really, you know, it has not really turned into fruition. What needs to be happening is similar to our surrounding brethren, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, Atlanta. We have to have a dedicated infrastructure that is through the budget, mm-hmm. that is official within the state. Mm-hmm. And with that will come a lot more opportunity. There have been plenty of productions that have asked to come here, from major feature films that have gone on to win Palme d'Ors at Cannes, to television series that you could watch on Showtime and HBO that almost came here, but end up going other places. The other good part I do want to mention is that the unions, Delaware does fall between the two unions, 52 in New York and 489 out of Baltimore. So, but it's always an ancillary revenue stream as well when you have a production that comes here. And there have been some, right? I mean, many years ago we had Dead Poets, but that was a long time ago. I do know that M. Night Shyamalan has come down and sneaked into Northern Greenville, but it wasn't, it could be more. Yeah. And I'm passionate about that. So internationally, they want to come here. I'll give you another example. So international filmmakers, unlike American filmmakers, they are supported by their governments. There are grants that they're able to be granted. So they have development money, meaning the money to put together a film before you actually go into production. So very easily they could come here, set up shop, and we can have a thriving film industry if we just had the right pieces come together. But I'm still hopeful. Yeah. I'll still work for it. I'm a Delawarean now. I mean, I raised two daughters here, graduated Cab Calloway School of the Arts, and they are in university. One just graduated from Emerson College, also wants to, you know, pursue the writing. So yeah, I'm hopeful. So
that's great. Well, yeah. On that note, Lisa, I'm afraid we have to sign off, and we didn't even get to talk to the topic of how you're coping with COVID and the projects you're working on. So we'll have to follow up with this again in the future. Lisa G. Black, founder of Garnet Girl LLC, award-winning entrepreneur and international producer. It's been great chatting with you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.